We're trekking our way through the book of 2 Timothy and looking through these pastoral epistles of what Paul has to say, particularly to a young pastor and to the local church and what the church is. Now, he gives some warning now. We're going to approach here in chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3. And we went through chapter 2 last week, and he went through a lot of, if we want to say, directives for the young man, or for really any minister, the minister of God, and some of the ways he ought to carry himself and handle himself. We got to chapter 2, verse 21. Let me read the rest of chapter 2. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 22. And notice what he says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." We know. Now again, just a clarification. If you're going to flee something, you have to follow something. You don't flee something to nothing, to be stagnant and stale, that you'll fall right back into what you got out of. That's one of the first things they teach you in some kind of an addictive program or something to help you get out of an addiction. They say if you flee it or you drop the habit, you got to go right to something else. You got to fill that void, or else you're going to run right or fall back right into the heroin and the coke or whatever you're doing. I mean, I don't know what it is. You know, you understand they fill that. And so for us, we fill it with the Word of God, with prayer, with church attendance, etc. So he says to him, flee these things, the youthful lusts that can happen, that come in life. And follow, he says, righteousness, faith, the charity, the peace. We've been through those before. And with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Godly friendships. Boy, how wonderful those are. We all have friendships outside of church. I hope you do. You know, but godly friendships in the church. Now, you can't probably call your brother or sister and say, hey, would you pray for me? I'm going through a real spiritual battle. They're going to go, what? Do what? But you call one of us, we're going to say, absolutely, brother. Absolutely, sister. What do you need? We'll be there for you. He goes through and talks, verse 23, foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they gender strifes or they stir up strife. Servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Ooh, that's tough to do, ain't it? Gentle unto all men, apt to teach, have the ability to teach, and patient. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance, notice to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, a lot of that has to do with an addiction. Again, a bad habit. He's taken captive by at his will. I mean, if the devil wants to push you this way, he'll have you. He's got your heart. He's got something there. So there again, he encourages Timothy in meekness, instruct those. They oppose themselves. Well, they hate themselves. They hurt themselves. They harm themselves. And God will give them repentance. So it takes a lot of meekness. Meekness is strength under control, patience with people to help others recover. Notice that. One of the only times there is mentioned of being recover, being a, help other people recover. And so understanding that, and again, if you have a friend or somebody you know who has a problem, has an addiction of some kind, you directly, if you can, if you know the Bible well enough, take them to the Scriptures and show them. God will help and is willing to help you get out of that. If you don't know that, you send them or direct them to somebody like a pastor or a minister, somebody like that you can trust, and try and help that person. We have people, not so much in recent days at our church have come, but in, especially in, I've worked in two other churches and had many people come. Brother Tim, I've got a problem, this and that, and that and this. And I've tried to encourage them and help them the best I can, but it comes back to they have to help themselves, don't they? I can only give them so many verses, so many things to help, pat them on the back, everything else. They've got to help themselves. That's where the sweet work of the Holy Spirit comes in and helps them to do exactly what they're supposed to do. Okay, now let's go to chapter 3 here. Now notice with me, he's going to now list a long list, if you will, of characteristics of the people, the seducers, the evil people of the last time, the last days, it's here. He says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now, perilous, you know, means dangerous or deviant times are coming. For, notice the first one, men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's clearly seen today, ain't it? Man, all over the place. Love your own self. Love, oh, we see these all these kind of red carpet, gala things or whatever you call them rolled out. What is it? Oh, they all stand there and they, 1,000 flashes. You know, what are you wearing? what brand? What designer are you wearing? All these things. It's just lovers of your own selves. You've ever tried to help somebody out? They're a lover of their own selves. Try and encourage people. I'm talking about unsaved folks especially. They're just lovers of their own selves. That's a true characteristic or a mark of our world today. And every society that's fallen, great, big, great, grand, and mighty nations that have fallen, they starts with this. Men love them themselves. Rome didn't fall in a day, we know that, but it did fall because men were lovers of their own selves. We know all of that. Now, notice what he says. Covetous, boasters, boast of themselves, boast of what they have, proud, they blaspheme, they're blasphemers without any conviction or any hindrance. They just blaspheme. Heard a guy the other day, Jesus Christ. And I'm like, you know, loud as he could. And I just, the hair on the back of my neck. And, you know, you want to go over there and tell him. But he was a real big guy. So but I'm going, seriously, do you have to use that name? I mean, seriously, I don't mind if you're calling out to the Lord, amen. But if you use it just as a filler word, that is blasphemous. We got to be careful, okay? Now, thinking about this is what they do. They're disobedient to parents. Should I say that again? They're disobedient to parents. Did you got girls catch that? And got fellas too? This notice that's end time. Now, in particular, he's not talking about just children. You know that. As adults, we are to still honor our parents. Until your parents breathe their last breath on earth, you are to honor your mother and father. You say, well, they're not saved. They're pretty, they're not a Christian. That's okay. You still honor them, right? You still honor them. You say, Mom, Dad, what can I do? You be a blessing. You try and encourage them and help them. Obviously, trying to share the gospel with them. But those of us that have parents that are saved, especially we should be honoring them. You don't agree with everything they say, everything they do. They say some things sometimes that you go, why, you know. But you honor them. You make sure and honor them. You obey them what they ask you to do. Encourage them. Oh, what a joy it is, I can only imagine, have a grown adult child that is completely obedient. They're sweet, they're kind, they're helpful. What can I do, Dad? How can I help? But this is, again, a mark of the end time is people, in general, are disobedient to parents. By the way, they don't even know who the parents are, sadly, right? Don't even know who they are. He says, unthankful, unholy. Some of these I don't need to explain. Without natural affection. Oh, there's another one. They just don't have natural affection. I mean, you see this lady on the news gives birth to a baby, goes, turns around to a dumpster behind some restaurant, puts the baby in a Walmart bag and chucks it in the dumpster. I mean, didn't even set it in. Did you see that video? Didn't even set it in the dumpster. She opened the back door, Walmart bag, and did this. Threw the baby. Praise God the baby was alive and they found it. But you're going, goodness, without natural affection. That's sick. That's just not, oh, that's wrong. That's sick. Mentally sick people. And you think here, now, there's no natural affection. There's no love, compassion, care. None of that is present. It's as vengeful, hateful, spiteful, mean, evil type of affection, if you want to call it. Okay? He says, no, it's truce breakers. They don't care about any kind of truce. You remember I don't remember the days, but the good old days, you could handshake on something. I'll be there tomorrow at 7 o'clock, handshake. The guy was there. Some people, you may be from an area like that. They're still like that. Praise God for it. But he says, truce, they don't care. False accusers. They accuse people without getting any facts. They don't care about the facts. They just want to get their way. Incontinent. Now, that word, again, means unchaste. No restraint, and I'll be careful because the kids are here, but no restraint in sexual matters. We use the word today incontinent, somebody who can't hold certain things together, right? They can't control certain functions of the body. This root word, though, what it comes back to is that of a immorality, unrestraint. You can't control yourself. That's what it is today in the world. They're fierce. They're just fierce, mean, despisers of those that are good. We know that. Try and share the gospel with anybody. Try and live upright for anybody. They despise you. Why? Because we're good. When John writes and he says very clearly, he says, wherefore slew he him? Talking about Cain. Why did he slay him? Why? Because his deeds were evil and Abel's deeds were righteous. Doesn't he say that? The reason he killed his brother is not because he didn't like him, not because he was, vengeful in any kind of way, or not because of this or that. It was because his deeds were righteous, and it made him look bad, and he didn't like it. And that's the world today. They despise us that are seeking and trying to do good. By the way, keep doing good, and let the naysayers come, and the haters are going to hate, and everything else, right? Keep it going. He says, now notice verse 4, traitors. They're traitors. Benedict Arnold's. Remember him? Your kids learned that yet? You're getting to it. Benedict, he is a traitor. Ran over to the British and tattletailed and everything else. Traitors, heady, high-minded. High, too, I guess. High-minded. They're high-minded. I won't. There's a good joke with that. Okay. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You think about that. Now, notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say they don't love God. It says what? When it comes down to it, two choices on the shelf. They don't despise God. Notice what it says. When it comes to it, they love pleasure more than God. More than God. They put pleasure above God. They don't hate God. They just love pleasure. My friends, we have to be very careful about that. Pleasure is good. God's given it to us for a reason. And at the end of the day, you ought to sit back and kick your feet up and relax a little bit. And you ought to take some time to have some pleasure in some kind of hobby or something to get your mind off whatever it is you're doing, work and etc. But an overindulgence of pleasure, you know this, is not good. And he says a mark of an ungodly person is that they love it more than loving God. And I want to encourage you with that. Make sure your love for God is above your love for pleasure. Now notice verse 5. Having a form of godliness. Form of godliness. But denying the power thereof, and he says, from such turn away. He doesn't say, be nice to him and kind to him and just slowly work away. No, he says, turn away from him. That word, that phrase there means get away. Get away from these people. They have a form of godliness. That form is put there. As I said before, you've seen it. I hope you have. If you haven't, come and join us sometime out on the job site. We're about ready to pour two footings here real soon. But they put the forms down first. They're pieces of plywood. Straps over the top, permitted. You have to have certain straps over the top and over the bottom. All this stuff. Well, that's just the form. Then they pour the concrete in. You're not going to build a house on top of the form. First of all, they won't let you get that far. They'll shut you down. But if you go past the county or the city and you build on top of the forms, you're a fool and it'll crumble to the ground, just like we talked about Sunday morning and Jesus said. You build your house upon a rock. But notice what he says, it's just a form of godliness. It looks like godliness. Now listen, the forms look like they're good to go. It's taking the shape or getting ready to help the concrete take the shape. And people sometimes, you look out in the world today, they have a form of godliness. It looks like godliness, sounds like godliness, even smells like godliness, hopefully. But notice, it is not godliness. How do we tell the difference? We know this and I know this. You know this and I know this. It's the Word of God. We must be careful. People on TV, people on the internet, podcasts and other things, preaching the Bible, sounds good. Man, there's some people, man, it sounds so good. But are they following Scripture? You and I have to know the Bible. Now, I said Sunday again, Jesus said, they come and they honor me with their lips, their heart is far from me. That's exactly what he says. They have a form of godliness. They deny that power thereof, though. They don't believe in that power. They don't believe who he is. That holy name. And as he puts it later. Notice verse 6, for of this sort, these type of people, they which creep into houses, lead captive silly women. In other words, silly means, you know, weak-minded. Laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning. I mean, so smart, constantly learning, but never can find the truth, right? We're learning that in the Bible Institute. I like that. These evolutionists and other people, I mean, they're smarter than smarter can be. And yet they can never come to the truth, can they? Well, we just don't know. We just can't figure it out yet. It's just a theory. We're not sure. That's what he says here. The individuals of the latter time, notice this, will be those that not only lead people astray, they will put upon them burdens. They will add sin to sin. Notice they're adding sin to people's lives. They lead them away with diverse or different types of lusts. And they can never come to the knowledge of the truth. Never come. You and I, if we stick to the Bible, I'm telling you this as sure as I'm standing here tonight. If you stick to the Bible, you'll be okay. You'll be okay. Now, there's books and material you should be reading on the outside too, you know, but the Bible is your source. The Bible will clarify, the Bible will divide and will clear a lot of bad doctrine up real quick. Just stay in the Bible. Stick in the Bible. Keep going at it. I'm trying my dead level best, boy, reading my Bible. I told you that. I'm trying to get through it in 90 days, and it is tougher and tough. I think I swallowed too much or bit off too much that I can swallow. But I've been trying, man, every night. I've been trying to read. And you know, boy, it's helped me so much. And it's helped me to stay focused. It's helped me to get spend more time with my wife, more talking time instead of on my phone or looking at the ball game. It's helped me in that relationship. It's helped me with the kids and communicating more. I mean, I'm just telling you, the Bible will help you and change you and encourage you and convict you. All the things we're looking for, we want God to do in our lives. But notice these people. Now, notice he says, verse 8, he gives a great example to us. Great example. He says, now, as Jannes and Jambres, now who are those people? Never heard of them before. Withstood Moses to do, so do these also resist the truth. They're men of corrupt minds. They're reprobate, notice, concerning the faith. The word reprobate, you know, means abandon in sin. Abandon in sin. They've given themselves over to the sinful lifestyle. They're just abandoned. They've given up everything holy and godly, and they've gone after sin. These two people, individuals, we find that they withstood Moses. Now, apparently, this is a mention of some individuals not clearly given in the Old Testament. There's reference to people withstanding Moses. We know that, but not their names. And so Paul clarifies this to us. Two individuals that withstood Moses. Now, again, you remember I hope you read through the book of Exodus. But it says Moses was what? One characteristic really given about Moses. He's the meekest man on earth. That was said by God. Meekness is, again, strength under control. But he was very meek. He did not fly off the handle. He was not temperamental. He did smite the rock. But you can imagine dealing with those people. Amen. You think you've got it difficult. Think about dealing with those folks. And what he did, he had people withstand him, but he didn't respond in an evil way, it says. Notice what he did. They resisted the truth. Moses came and said what? He said, here's what God said. By the way, Moses only spoke what God told him to say. He says, thus saith the Lord. That's what every prophet did. A true prophet was one that simply, what? Spoke what God spoke. He didn't deviate from that. If he deviated, in fact, that's the test of a prophet. Here's the test that God gave to the people. If the prophet prophesies something and it doesn't come to pass, you know he's a liar. If he prophesies something and says, this is what God said is going to happen, and it happens, he's a true prophet. I sent him. And you think about that. Moses simply spoke the word. But what came? They resisted the truth. They resist the truth. They're men of corrupt minds. They have a sick mentality. Their minds are corrupted with pornography, with sin, with lust, with everything else, and they're reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall, I like this, notice, proceed no further. Their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. These individuals were pointed out by God himself and were taken care of. Thinking about several people that came, they resisted Moses. God took care of business. God opened up the earth and swallowed these people up. That's a good story you ought to read. So you think about this. Now, this is the individual in the latter times, in the last days, and this is what they will be like. But they will proceed no further. They won't proceed. God is going to handle business. When it gets too much, when you see the wickedness of the world and the vileness of the people around you, yes, you ought to be burdened. Yes, pray for them, etc. But don't get overwhelmed. Why? Because God's still in control and they will proceed no further. God has a limit. God will cut them off at some point. We know that. Now, he says, verse 10 now, but thou, talking to Timothy, has fully known my doctrine. He says, you fully know what I've taught, what I believe, my manner of life, how I handle myself, how I communicate, purpose, what my purpose was, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, a lot of things he told him in 2:22 of what to follow. But he adds to it, verse 11, persecutions, afflictions, which came into me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, were persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Now, you go back and read through the book of Acts, you'll find out what Paul had to really go through. It was devastating. They took Paul, and he did nothing wrong except preach the gospel. They took him and beat him. They whipped him to where his back was split open, as you've seen some pictures maybe of the slaves and others of that time. His back was ripped open. They gave him no medical attention. They threw him in a filthy, rat-infested prison for him to sit there and make sure he prayed to God he didn't get gangrene or some kind of infection. Put him in fetters, chained his hands and his feet, came in the next day, beat him a little bit more, and went through the whole process. These are the things he did. They left him half dead in this time period right here and in these cities. They left him dead. In fact, everyone thought he was dead. And they stoned him, threw stones at him. He was dead. He got up, it says, shook it off, and went to the next city. Now, that's the kind of guy I like right there. I mean, that's tough right there. Man, that's the kind of the person Paul was. And notice what he says. You have seen that, Timothy. You've seen it. Now, in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews 13, he mentions this about Timothy. And he says, know this, that Timothy has been set at liberty. He's free. So at some point, Timothy came under the same type of imprisonment for preaching the gospel. And you think about it, if you, as we said this in verse chapter 1, he said, come and be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. This bed of ease, no problems, no issues type of Christianity today is false and unbiblical. You and I are going to go through some things like that. And he says again, endurance is the key, enduring. The Lord delivered him out of all of them. Verse 12, let's bring her home here and wrap it up. He says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's not an if, it's a when, right? Not if, when. If you go through trials, if you have a hard time, you may not ever have any problems. No, it's when. When is it going to happen? Evil men and seducers, they're going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. They wax worse and worse. They get worse and worse. They build up. And he says they'll deceive and being deceived themselves. They have a deviant mind. They're seeking to deceive other people. And this is why we must know our Bibles. This is why we must know and be filled with the Holy Spirit, that he gives us what's called discernment. As we said on Sunday, the Bible, one of its characteristics is that it gives discernment of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, the intentions. That's exactly what he does. He says, verse 14, but continue thou. But continue thou. Underline that. That's good. But continue thou. Well, what about no one else in the church is? No, no, no. But continue thou, you. Nobody else is faithful on Wednesday night. No, no, you be faithful. But continue thou. Nobody else shares a gospel tract to anybody. No, you do it. But continue thou. Nobody else wants to raise their kids in this way. That's okay. Don't care what they think. But continue thou. Nobody else, everyone else's marriage is falling apart and they're cheating on each other and everything else. And it's okay. No, continue thou. You keep going, he says, in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of. Notice what he says, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. As I follow Christ, follow me. That's what Paul later says. But you follow. Listen, as I said earlier, that you and I, and me especially as a minister, must first know the way before I begin to help or encourage you to go the way. I must be going the way first and foremost before I preach and teach to others. And that is a hard task, but it must be done. You as an individual, as a Christian, must do the same. In order for us, now again, our kids follow that. What we allow in moderation, our kids what? They take to excess. We allow certain things. They are watching and waiting and looking. Your parents, your grandparents, whoever, they're watching and looking. He says, you know what you've learned and you know who you learned it from. And verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, we read this Sunday, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible does. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, what we believe, for reproof, what's wrong, for correction, how to get it right, for instruction in righteousness, how to keep it right, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, truly furnished unto all good works. Truly furnished. And we have all that we need, I said before. This Bible right here, the context of those two verses is the Scriptures. You and I have all that we need in the Scriptures to do exactly what we're supposed to do. To know God and to please God is right here. Well, what if I'm doing it wrong? The Bible will show you. It'll correct you. Now listen, let me encourage you with that again, to stay in your Bibles this week as you and I, many of us are maybe out of town over the next week or so. Not let that get away. Let that slip away. Not let your Bible time, your prayer time get away from you. Do what you need to do. Get alone with God as you travel. Put your earbuds in with the Bible on or do something to keep focused and get through the Scriptures. Why? Because it gives discernment. It gives wisdom. And he says here in this chapter 3, and I'll stop here, but that there are characteristics of the men of the latter times. And then he says, but Timothy, you know what you're supposed to do. You know where you're supposed to go. You know who you're supposed to be. You know what you're supposed to believe. But continue thou. You keep going. You keep going. And again, he passes the torch on to Timothy. He hands that baton off to Timothy for the next generation. And we have that task again today and tonight. We hand that off. We're passing a baton off to these youngsters. And we've been given a baton from those before us. We got to keep going. The way we keep going is, and the way we understand what these men are and who they are and how to identify them is through the Holy Scriptures. Knowing the Bible, knowing the Word, and following faithfully, as Paul says later. Whose faith? Follow. Follow. All right, I'll stop there tonight. Hope that was a help to you and blessing. We'll wrap up, Lord willing, a few weeks from now in chapter 4 and get through that. And I pray that you have a good rest of your week and then into the weekend. And we'll be praying for the services here as well. Be safe, please. And remember to keep the Lord first. I know you know that already. And make sure you have opportunity make sure you get some gospel tracts and other things. Have opportunity to invite people and be a testimony, a witness wherever you go and whatever you do. All right. Amen. Lord, thank you for time this evening to spend time in your word once again. Be around your people. What a privilege, what a relief it is to be around godly people after a day being out with really some ungodly people, working around people, hearing what they say, hearing how they act and what they are involved in, and just to come into church tonight and be around a handful of people that know you, love you, and serve you, and are going through the same thing that I'm going through, and all of us are. Help us, Lord. What an encouragement and a challenge in chapter 3 that Paul gives a whole list of all these characteristics, and it seems so depressing. And then he says, but you, Timothy, know exactly what to do. Continue thou. And I thank you for the word of God. It's our tool. It's our sword. We have all that we need in you, Lord. We thank you for it. Bless us now as we go our separate way. Bring us back, please, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.